Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Is on the fritz, or if you need to install that ceiling fan inside your home or on the front porch, don't get the summertime blues. Stay cool and call my friends at Blue Moon Electric online at bluemoonelectricathens.com.
Your home of the dogs in the classic city. It's Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref.
Back on the morning show here on 960 The Ref. 43 days away from Georgia Bulldogs football.
The dogs.
We're almost there.
A lot of golf to be played, though, before then.
A lot of golf,
Tyler,
to be played. And, yes. Keeping up with the British Open, of course. We've got a pretty cool guest with us now.
Absolutely. In fact, before we get to Nick Cassini, just want to mention that the Open Championship being played in Northern Ireland. And right now, it's still J.B. Holmes who has the lead. Through 15 holes, he is 8 under par, one shot better than Tommy Fleetwood. And now Shane Lowry, who is 3 under through his first three holes to get to 7 under par. Brooks Koepka shot a 69, so he's at 5 under. I know this is stunning. He's in the hunt.
I know, right?
he is in the hunt.
He will be there for the weekend, I'm sure.
Yes. All right, getting to our guest here, bringing in Nick Cassini, who is going into Georgia's Circle of Honor, former Bulldogs All-American, part of the 1999 National Championship team. God, it's hard to believe that's been 20 years ago. Hey, Nick, good morning. How are you today?
Great. Good morning to both of you.
Yeah,
thanks for having me on.
We appreciate you taking some time. And when I said it's hard to believe it's been 20 years since that national title, do you feel the same way?
I do. It feels like a lifetime ago, to be honest with you, looking back at some of the pictures. And, you know, the Circle of Honor has brought back so many memories and conversations with old teammates. It is hard to believe it's been 20 years.
Now, take us a little bit through your recruiting, how you got to Georgia. I know you had a little bit of a I had told Steve Calkwood, our buddy, or I'd mentioned, like, I may not bring this up, but at least, you know, we like to joke around that maybe somebody came to their senses. But take us through how you got to the University of Georgia, because I know it included a stop over in Atlanta.
It did, unfortunately. my first year, I was recruited by Bruce Hepler, who was a new coach at Georgia Tech, and the idea was to bring in, you know, an all-star team with Charles Howell and Matt Kuchar and myself and a couple other young junior players. And some of that happened, some of it didn't. But, you know, Coach Hack hadn't really established himself yet. I mean, I didn't know Coach Hack was at Georgia until I had already signed with Georgia Tech. So Hack and I went way back in the AJVA days. So within a few months of me being a Tech, I called Coach Hack and asked him what the process was if I decided to transfer. And he said, just do it after your first year. So I played my first year at Tech, and as soon as I was able to, I transferred over and had to sit out a year because Tech wouldn't release me to play. They mentioned that there was only one school in the country that they would not release me to play at, and that was Georgia.
Just good old-fashioned hate. I love it. So you were
Absolutely.
In the old transfer portal before, I guess, there was the transfer portal, if you will.
Exactly right. But my first year playing at Georgia was 1999, and we won national championships, so it was a nice payback.
That was fantastic. And, of course, Luigi was, I guess, you know, was the big star. Not that you guys weren't, but let's see, you had Mike Morrison and Jeremy Parrott and Mark Northey, I guess that was, and you and Luigi were the, was that the lineup?
That was the starting five, yes. And then, you know, sitting at home, we had some future All-Americans, you know, like Eric Compton and Brian Odom and David Miller. Justin Boley.
Wow.
So we had quite a team that was sitting back You know, I think our B team could have probably been top 10 in the country that year as well. So we had quite a squad, but the top five were the five you mentioned.
And then Bubba came along the next year, right?
That's right. Bubba came in. He was a junior college transfer. He came in after his sophomore year, so he played 2 years with us.
So you and Bubba crossed over, what, a couple of years? Would that be right?
We did, yeah, 2 years.
Okay. Okay. Do you ever still hear from him?
I do, yeah. We play play the alumni matches together back at UGA when they have them, and I still keep in touch. You know, he's obviously had an amazing career, but Bubba and I have been friends since we were 12, 13 years old, so, you know, we go way back.
Oh, wow, okay, so that's right, and that's how you kind of got to know, or maybe more than kind of, but that's how the relationship with a lot of you guys started, right, was with Coach Hack when he was in the involved in the AJGA.
That's right, exactly. So Coach Hack was one of the directors at the AJGA back when we were all coming through that, and so when he got the job at Georgia, it was a no-brainer for people like Ryuji, for example, who probably would never have gone to college had it not been for Hack, to decide to come and play for a couple years because he had the relationships with so many young players.
And I guess you even played against, like, Tiger in the juniors. Would that be right?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't cross over too much because he was always, like, just one step ahead. But yeah, a few times we did. I played against him in the pros some. But yeah, it definitely in the juniors, he was, you know, he was obviously the person to beat, just like he was in the pros.
Yeah. Nick Cassini is our guest here going into Georgia's Circle of Honor.
So going into the Circle of Honor is a really cool thing happening for you, and you're going in alongside some all-time Georgia greats, including Kevin Butler, Ginny Bethard, and Jarvis Hayes. And for one, what does this honor mean to you, and do you have a relationship with any of these other people? I know you were at Georgia around the same time as both Ginny and Jarvis.
Well, to start, I mean, the honor of going into the Circle of Honor is really something special for me. I mean, University of Georgia means so much to me. It's been a big part of my life. You know, obviously having won a national championship there, been a multiple-time All-American and enjoyed, you know, a lot of success. But the honor itself is something that, you know, it's the hallmark of my career for sure. So it's as special as it gets for me. As far as, you know, the other honorees that are being inducted in the same class, I do remember Jenny from back in the day. We lost touch after college, and Jarvis, you know, we share a few mutual friends, and so we've run into each other over the years, but you know, don't really keep in touch. And Kevin, just from you know, every once in a while we'll run into each other at a golf event or something like that. So it'll be great to reconnect with this group, and really looking forward to the induction ceremony.
When did you get wind that you were in the process of potentially going into the Circle of Honor and all of that stuff?
Well, I didn't have any clue. You know, this is something that you get nominated by somebody, and then they have a committee set up. I got a phone call from Greg McGarity a couple months ago, a total surprise. And, I mean, it was something that, you know, was it's super exciting because it wasn't even in the periphery of my, you know, thoughts. So I obviously knew about the Circle of Honor. I knew that it was a very prestigious group of athletes that went to the University of Georgia. And then when he called me and told me that I was going in and the first male golfer to be inducted, it was a very, very happy surprise.
Very cool. So you really have only known for a couple of months.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow. I only found out a couple months ago.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, tell us a little bit about, I know you were pro after college and gave that a shot for a few years. I know there was an injury or so, and then you've gotten your amateur status back. But take us through your post-Georgia golf life.
Yeah, so I turned pro after the Walker Cup and U.S. Amateur in 2001. Played several, you know, tour events on sponsor exemption, and then went to Q school and did not get through. So, you know, I was relegated down to the mini tours for about a year. And then I went through the Monday qualifying route and played my way on to the back then it was called the Nationwide Tour. Now it's the Korn Ferry Tour. I think it's gone through a couple name changes. So I was able to play my way onto that tour and stayed out there for 4 years. So from 2003 through 2006, I played on that tour. I played, you know, a handful of European Tour events and a handful of PGA Tour events. You know, I had a couple good years, had some good finishes, finished second twice, a third, missed final stage of Q school by two shots 1 year, and then suffered a shoulder injury at the end of the 2005 season, which, you know, really hampered my game. And 2006 was a bit of a lost year for me. And so I decided to hang up the clubs and enter the business world with the idea that I could come back into golf at some point once my shoulder healed, but that never happened. So, so fast forward, 10, 12 years, here I am in the business world and I got my amateur status back and now I'm playing a little bit again in some, amateur events, but the game's nowhere near where it used to be for sure.
So you had basically like a decade where you just didn't play much golf or hardly any golf at all?
Correct. Yeah. For about 10 years, I played very, very, very little. So, I thought that it was a bit of a shame with all the practice and all the blood, sweat, and tears that I put into it for, 25 years or whatever. So I thought, I've got to get back into this and join a club and start playing and practicing again. So that's where I am right now.
Talking with Nick Cassini, who is going into this latest group, the Georgia Circle of Honor.
So obviously with the British Open going on right now, as they're in the second round of play today, who's your pick to win it all?
Well, I think you'd be hard-pressed to bet against Koepka right now.
Yeah.
Very true.
The guy is just unbelievable. He just seems unflappable when it comes to these majors. And, I know it's the easy pick, but, you never would have thought his game would be suited for a British Open, but I think he can play anywhere now. I mean, he's just so confident. And the confidence is really, the driving force behind the success of these guys. And, when you have that much talent, they can all hit the shots. But when a guy like that with that much power has as much confidence as he does, it's hard to pick against him.
I've always thought it was interesting because, a guy like yourself, you were one of the top amateurs in the country, in the world. You won a national champion. You were part of a national championship team at the University of Georgia. Do a lot of the golfers just kind of take it for granted that it's going to be, that way when you leave college and go on to the next level? Because to me, there's such a fine line between being a top, 100 golfer in the world and being in the top 1,000. There's not a huge difference. I mean, what was it like for you trying to go through all of that?
Well, I mean, the line is very, very fine. I mean, when you separate the top, let's say 30 or so in the world from the rest, there's very little difference between the 70th player in the world and the 300th player in the world. That's why you see people out of nowhere sort of win tournaments. But and that's why you see, some of these college kids come out and they have instant success. I mean, I think the game's evolved dramatically from when I was playing. I was sort of in that first evolution of players, young players coming out of college and having instant success. I think Tiger drove a lot of that. I mean, nowadays it's nothing for a 20, 22-year-old to come out and win and be one of the best players in the world. Back when I was playing, they always told us in your late 20s, early 30s is when you peaked. And, until then, it was sort of the journey to get there. So for me, I mean, I looked at it. I was sort of caught right in between. I knew that I was good enough to play on tour, but there's a lot of things that have to happen in golf, unlike, some of the other sports where it's more of a selection process. In golf, you have to play your way on. And if you don't, then you can sort of get stuck in no man's land for a little while on some of the mini tours. And so, eventually the better players do get on and they make a career out of it. But if you get stuck out there for too long, things can go sideways. And, I probably was right in that group.
Nick, catch everybody up on what you're doing now, where you're living, and all that stuff.
Sure. I live in Atlanta. I am one of the owners of a company called Ansley Developer Services. We're a sales and marketing firm for real estate new developments. I've got three other partners, and you know, I'm up in Athens quite a bit. I go see the team, and love being part of the UGA culture and living locally.
I was going to ask you for a Chris Hack story, but I don't want to get anybody in trouble, so I won't do that to you.
Well, that would have to be a whole segment of your show if you want to talk about Hack.
And he comes in here from time to time and hangs out in the studio with us, and he is he's phenomenal. And Georgia has a great, great golf legacy, you know, even before he got here. But recruiting you got, you know, you and you know, that first group of guys that came in with him, he took Georgia golf to another level, and you guys winning the national championship. That was at Hazeltine, right?
It was.
Okay.
It was.
And then the 2005 team that won the championship. I mean, it's amazing. And I have more people tell me that they love, you know, watching, you know, the PGA Tour on the weekends, just because there's a very good chance one of those former Georgia golfers is going to be, you know, on the leaderboard. I know that you guys take a lot of pride in that.
Absolutely. It's awesome to see how many Bulldogs are on tour and how much success they're having. It's really fun.
Well, Nick, it's been fun catching up with you. We appreciate it. And congratulations again on your Circle of Honor Award. We're really proud of you and happy for you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Thank you.
Nick Cassini joining us from Atlanta.